Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Talking about an organizer named Saul. Mm-hmm. He was a Pharisee. And he began to organize against the church. And somebody said, well, that he wasn't organizing. He was just standing there. Why do you think they laid their coats at his feet? Why do you think he was a Pharisee? Why do you think he okayed this? And somebody said, that's not true. Okay, let's just move, I don't know, a couple of little letters, words, scripture, you know, verses forward. Let's go move from chapter 7 to chapter 8. So all of a sudden what happened was, this is important to understand. If you let this cat out of the bag, American church, if we don't humble ourselves and repent, this is what's going to happen. This is exactly what's going to happen. If you sit back and just, you know, gather up your marbles and pack your barns out with more of your stuff saying you're going to do this and you're going to do that, why people like Pastor Saeed and Christians are being persecuted double what was last year, which means 2,400 based just on the present model next year, is this is what's going to happen. Yeah. Because the organized effort, we're talking about, are they organized in America and the world, and if so, what for? And it boils down, we're finding out these are Lucifer tactics that are being used. The book is giving a shout out to Lucifer, okay, but it's basically a kingdom of darkness or a kingdom of light. It's a battle between good and evil and light and dark. It's a battle between kingdoms, we're going to find out. So then what happens right after they lay, after they stone this Christian for talking about preaching the gospel? He's preaching the gospel. Stephen was just preaching the gospel. He's going verbatim. He went from A to Z. He preached the whole gospel. He saw the face of God, and while he was looking at the face of God, an organizer had him stoned because he was held captive by darkness in the name of God. And am I, is that not, is that what, it's,
yeah, right? That's what happened.
Okay. So somebody says, well, that was just one Christian, you know, the fact that that was, you know, kind of ludicrous and crazy that it was going on, wouldn't happen again. Move on, move on. Acts chapter 8. What happened, as soon as they organized the effort around one Christian, it progressed to a frenzy. A frenzy broke out immediately. Why? Because it was darkness. It was Lucifer now finally got access to be able to come against Jesus, the body of Christ. And so once you allow that access and you think, you just wink at your brother's death, you wink at your sister's death, you wink at your nation being turned over to darkness. We're no longer a Christian nation anymore, our president says. Mm. We're no longer a Christ-following nation anymore. And we just wink at this, you know. And it's like, he's right, we're not following him, but we can repent and begin to follow him. He was telling us the truth, because he said, I'm a Christian just like you are.
That's right.
And the thing is, like, you cannot call, he's telling the truth. The thing is, we need to repent.
Yeah.
We've been nailed by the truth. And the thing is, but he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. He was prophesying to the church in America, telling us that I'm just like you. I'm just like you. And just like we told to you about yesterday, a children of the night and a children of the day. Yeah. It is ought not to be. So all of a sudden now, because they allowed, they organized around that one Christian who was a strong Christian who was known for his walk in the Lord, known for his testimony, because this is what Lucifer begins to promulgate. If truly that God is your father, come off that cross. If truly Stephen is preaching a true God, then we can't stone him. We can't kill him. So as soon as they nail Jesus to the cross, as soon as they stone a Christian, or they imprison a Christian, they begin to promulgate it quickly and begin to create a frenzy and organize around that, because their people are buying into, well, hey, you know, if God is good, why am I sick? And if God is good, then why did this happen? And they start feeding into those lies, which is why you see that big, huge attack against the movie done by Kirk Cameron, where they started shutting it down because the ultimate thing was the battle between good and evil. Right. Why does good things happen to bad people? And so here they are. They're just running with it. Okay, they got a narrative here. Here's the narrative. You know, they're coming, and we're going to find out what they said. But all of a sudden, now a frenzy breaks out in Acts chapter 8, and it says, on the day that he was stoned, it has to be immediate. This is what Marshall Gantz says. This is what Saul Alinsky says. This is what the president taught for 4 years. This is what Hillary Clinton did her thesis on. This is what all of Alinsky's children this is how they think. This is their process. They're thinking in the context of these tactics only I'm talking about. And immediately, a frenzy broke out against the church, against Christians. And you got to get this. No, they didn't go to your stucco building and start peeling off the little cement that's rubbed on your styrofoam. They actually came against people. They went, Saul now, Saul, 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 Alinsky, right? Saul, mm-hmm. he began to destroy the church. Mm. Where did that come from? Why in the world? Why did all of a sudden when Morsi gets removed from office of the Muslim Brotherhood, who's part of the circumference of Mecca, circling around the hole in the ground, waiting for the beast to come out, you know, why in the world would they punch a Christian? Why would they stone Stephen out of the middle of nowhere? Why in the world would they all of a sudden begin, I can't fight America, I can't fight the Egyptian, you know, Muslims. Let me go find a few church, Christian churches to burn down. Mm. Let me go find a few Christians to persecute. This is the reason why. There is only two sides. There's only two sides. And you're going to find out more about it. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. If you're a child of the night, you are not a child of the day. This is so important. You have to understand this because you're going to have to start choosing whose side are you on. You have to make a decision. It's like bowing up and saying, no, it's actually bending over and humbling yourself and saying, I'm on the Lord's side. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Sometimes it's like, as for me and me, like some guy says, I proclaim that as for me and my house, but it boils down like, as for me and me. Because sometimes he says, even members of your own household will be an adversary of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We think about that. And so immediately after they organized around Stephen and stoned Stephen, this godly man you just got to read more about him. I'm not going to break into it. He was doing everything right. And if you wanted to be loved on, you wanted to be forgiven by God, and you wanted to know how to get saved and be with God forever and enter the family, talk to Stephen. Stephen's going to, you know, bring the kingdom of God to you. And so in the context of that, all of a sudden they begin to persecute the church. He ran after the church. And he was, guess what? He went from house to house. He did not go from stucco building to stucco building, storefront to storefront, crystal cathedral. My perspective is this. First of all, they wouldn't let them in. They wouldn't let the church in those places, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's standing outside the door knocking, but he could be in there. Mm-hmm. And if he's in you, he's in there. But he went from house to house because when you start walking with God, it's hard to walk with those who try to walk bipolarly, try to walk with the darkness and walk with light. Mm-hmm. Some people say, I'm going crazy. It's just, yeah, it's what happened to the pigs when all the demons came out of the out of man. You know, they went crazy, right? What was on him? Pigs couldn't even survive what was on him. Mm. I'm losing my mind. No, you're double-minded. You're trying to follow pride with your mind, and you're trying to follow God with your mind. And they're opposites. They're totally opposites. You're not bipolar. You're just a child of the darkness that can enter into the light. Make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not that confusing, and you don't have to be that smart. Believe me, right? I'm talking about John. No, I'm talking about myself. We know you're smart. We know.
That's right.
He's got degrees.
Lots of degrees.
Degrees. And so here we are in the context of that it went straight from organizing around one cause, one narrative. Let's take Stephen down. He was probably the hottest commodity in the kingdom of God at that time. I mean, it was happening with Stephen in Jerusalem. And it was coming against their kingdoms. We're going to find out about that. And so they got to take this guy down because he's preaching another kingdom. He's preaching another king. And it's so amazing that there's people are saying they're with God, God's kingdom, but it's like, then why are you so upset when they preach his kingdom? So then you go on over. Let's just jump over a little bit to, so you have this persecutor. You have the persecutor, Saul. And I want to encourage you that don't write off all these persecutors. Realize that the way that you're going to increase the kingdom of God is to tell Saul, Alinsky's children, and those who are being organized by darkness, and those who are persecuting you, that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. They just don't know him yet. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go in dark tactics and try to use dark tactics to be able to fight dark tactics, they won't know him through you. But if you love those who hate you, if you pray for those who lie on you and persecute you, If they ask you to go 1 mile, you go 2 mile. If you give to Caesar what's Caesar, if you just back out of the political arena and begin to get into the kingdom of God and begin to love people, love God and love other people, instantly God's going to show up and we're going to show you what happens because I just talked to you about Saul the organizer, Saul the persecutor, but I'm about to talk to you about Saul the convert because there was an encounter on the road to Damascus of all the people, our present leader, Saul Obama, was going to, he was going to Damascus, and the church didn't even know enough to pray for him. Didn't even know enough to pray for him. You're looking right behind me now, just the torch just from yesterday. Was our president selected before he was elected? Are they using tips from Lucifer to organize America and the world? There's several parts of that, but that's so important because you begin, what we tried to do, and I tried to share in my heart, was you can have a lot more care and concern and love for individuals when you find out that it's actually a battle between good and evil, a battle between mm-hmm. light and dark. And God loves the human beings that he's created in his image and his likeness. And if you pray for those in authority over you and you understand, especially in regards to presidency, you don't get there by yourself. And his pastor said, Pastor Reverend Jeremiah Wright said, you don't understand. He was selected before he was elected. And he was trying to help people appear to understand that, you know, hold off a little bit. He has mm-hmm. responsibilities. He has to do these things mm-hmm. off. And then we heard a panel, and you can find out this yesterday, the piece that you're seeing behind me there, that before he was even chosen, or Hillary was chosen, or the other man was, whoever that was,
Jonathan Edwards,
was chosen, they were deciding on who they were going to select. Mm-hmm. And Cass Sunstein's was part of that. And so they were wondering who will have a transformational presidency. And ultimately, they felt like, obviously, that President Obama would. Mm-hmm. And would he have the nerve, would he have the character to be able to do this? And he's actually walking out, you know, Alinsky 101, in regards to transforming a nation. And the thing about it, so we're being organized in the context of that, but what is the biblical perspective of this? And so we're finding out in our conversation, I just began to talk about Saul the organizer. Of course, Saul Alinsky is the one that wrote the book Rules for Radicals. He teaches the 13 tactics for organizing, mm-hmm. which what led me to this book was Marshall Gantz talking in an interview with Bill Moyer show on PBS, as he's talking about and quoting from the book, Rules for Radicals. And as I go back into the Alinsky tactics, and I find out, oh my goodness, I get the book and I find it, it's dedicated to Lucifer. Mm. And then I find out when Marshall Gantz says, this is God just open thing, I'm learning out loud. And then Marshall Gantz says on that program on PBS, oh yeah, the president hired me for his campaign to be able to help them out. And I thought, well, that's not strange because he's an organizer. Sure. And Marshall Gantz is an organizer. And there's been some good things that happen in the context of some of these things. I mean, it's just normal. It's like a basketball player having a... I mean, but it's progressing, and then we're finding out this is not being organized with light. This is being organized with darkness. And there's, and then we find out that there's a big difference between Alinsky's Lucifer tips and Dr. King's, which I believe is an apostle of the Lord, which is an apostle of the Lord that was sent to be able to bring us up and live up to the standards that God wanted for this country from day one that was written in our Constitution. And then his 10 commitments... versus his 10 light commitments to Jesus Christ. And his book, his life was dedicated to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And Alinsky's tactics, which are 13 tactics, which are dedicated to darkness and dedicated to Lucifer. You cannot compare the what I believe who was an apostle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., to Alinsky's tactics and tactics that are being used today. You can't. Mm-hmm. But we will, and mm-hmm. we have. And you'll see it soon on the torch. We'll put them side by side so you can appreciate, you know, the pain, the suffrage, and the apostolicship of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is just, I mean, and I really believe, you know, Pastor Evita King, his niece, you can just feel him through her, yeah. You can feel his heart.
Just picked up that mantle.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, just can I sit with you and just listen for a while? Mm-hmm. And she talks about the Ten Commitments, and she talks about this aspect, which is totally opposite of what right. the... And so we're finding out in the context of it that Saul Alinsky... is basically taught Lucifer tips. He wrote this book in 1971, but we're seeing that that since our president taught it for 4 years, it's taken place. But then we're looking in the Bible to get a light perspective of what's going on. It's like a spirit of Saul has been around ever since Lucifer. You know, people have been organizing against God for quite some time in God's ways and against the light. And so we have this particular Pharisee, this religious man, Pharisee of the Pharisees, that he decided he had everything done to the T. to be a religious Pharisee. But when Christians began to, when Jesus was lived his life in ministry on earth and was born, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, was buried and resurrected from the dead, and all of a sudden the church's birth in Jerusalem, Saul began to persecute the church. Saul did. But we found out, we just talked about in the end of the last hour, was that he organized. He organized an effort to stone one of the key figures of the church of that day, Stephen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was one considered the hot commodity, you would think. I mean, this guy is hearing from God, following God, can see the face of God, understood the message of God, understood the kingdom of God, And all those who walked in darkness were threatened by his light. And they could just see the light on him. The glory of God was all over him. And it's like darkness is like, oh my goodness, light. You know?
Yeah.
I can see all my deeds and stuff. And so they came and they laid, after they stoned this man, Stephen, under the organization of Saul, they laid their clothes at his feet. And somebody says, well, that was just a moment. Well, we moved on. We found out. A frenzy broke out immediately. In the next chapter, he talks about it in Acts chapter 8. They immediately began to persecute the church on a mass scale. And you see this. This happened with the Jews in Germany. This happened was it 20,000, 26,000 concentration camps?
It was 46,000.
46,000, right. They found out, camps and concentration camps. Huge!
Mm-hmm.
And it's like five or six times what they thought. Because what happens is that if you open this floodgate, if you say, I'm going to just stay in darkness and I'm not going to repent, I'm just going to allow Stephens to be stoned, I'm going to allow the church to be persecuted, and I'm not going to repent of my sins, I'm not going to serve God,
right. A
floodgate's going to happen. They're going to snatch you out your house. Ask the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the Christians in the past. Ask the Christians the other day in Egypt when all of a sudden Morsi gets removed. And out of the middle of nowhere, of all these Egyptians, they went straight to the Egyptians, Christians, where they were at, and snatched them out and burned their places and forced them to pay taxes. Mm. And of all the people here, why? Because it's a battle between light and dark. Listen, if you're not organized, if you're not following Jesus, you know, and you're trying to call yourself a leader in the context of the nations and all, you're actually following darkness in the context of that. You're organizing things in your own mind. So immediately a frenzy broke out against, and so we had the persecutor Saul. But you have to understand that when you read about in Acts chapter 9, then all of a sudden we find that the converted Saul, that all of a sudden this guy that was so hateful and so mean towards the church, and it's interesting too that he was on his road to Damascus. Imagine if when our president felt so driven all of a sudden, for whatever reasons, to bomb Damascus, if we would have prayed for him and had a more biblical perspective and realized this could be his conversion. Yeah, he may be the persecutor today, but he could be the converted Saul tomorrow.
That's right.
Because look here, I'm going to just read it to you just so you can hear. It's Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul Alinsky. No. No, it says, meanwhile, Lucifer. No, it doesn't. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. Isn't that something? So we're like, he's intense, man. He's like, he's just nonstop, relentless.
Threats,
unceasing.
Alinsky tactics.
Yeah, threats and unceasing, relentless, yeah. Unceasing. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high place and asked him for a letter. Went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogues of Damascus. Hmm. So he actually was ready to go to Damascus to do business. Well, his intentions were to go bomb Damascus, the church in Damascus. Mm-hmm. That was his intentions, yeah. You know, with himself. And so, could you all that?
Yeah.
And that was his intentions, to be able to bomb the church in Damascus. But he was going to physically do it. He wasn't going to do bombs and stuff.
Right.
But our president was talking about, we need to bomb Damascus. Sure. Like, where does that fit in? Biblically, it could mean, hey, this could be the point that he's going to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
If we would actually be the light and children of the light and begin to pray for him instead of persecute him. And he says, Saul went to the high priest and asked for a letter to go to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any there who belong to the way, I mean, he's going to hunt us up.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hunt us up and look for us, whether woman or man. Think about that. Whether woman or man, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. Here comes Saul. And he's an organizer. He organized around several of the churches, drug them out of their houses, and it's like, oh my goodness, this has been around. These tactics have been around since heaven, when Lucifer was using them in a third of the angels went
and
down.
Don't think it can happen. You know, the part of Americans is that they think, well, you know, listen, it can happen right around you.
What's happening? But the thing about it is, we're 5% of the world's population. It's happening all over the world. It happened in Egypt just this week.
Yeah,
and just this week it happened. But yeah, you're right.
I'm talking about context of Americans. Right, easy for them to believe what's happening internationally, but not what can happen outside their front door.
Right, right, right. And remember, Saul Alinsky is being used right now, so we can pay close attention.
That's right.
And so he says, as he neared Damascus, he's getting close now to, his ships are getting to the edge of the water, the missiles are pointing towards Damascus. You know, as he neared Damascus on his journey, think about that.
Mm.
Did we pray for our president? Did we understand, despite him being today appearing to be used under dark tactics and be a persecutor of the way, really he's just prophesying to us. He's just one of us. Mm. That's how we've been acting. And we need to repent and get our life right. And we realize we start getting a light perspective, and then we begin to say, wait a minute. Is he using Saul Alinsky tactics? Is he acting like Saul? Is he acting like Saul? Is he acting like King Saul? Is he acting like Saul the Pharisee? And Damascus? This could be his conversion point. Mm. This is the day that he can see the light. Or did people just start going political, which is stinks? There's no hope in politics. There's no hope in any. We're going to talk about men's kingdoms. There's hope in the kingdom of God. We're not called to be kingdom building done here. It's already been built. We're called to advance the kingdom that's been built in God, mm-hmm. and to pray for those in authority over us. It could have been his conversion point. Mm-hmm. This could have been his conversion point because he was headed towards, and the ships were in the Mediterranean, and it's like, why Damascus? Is God's just shouting at us? There's so many signs that God's shouting at us. And it says, suddenly, near Damascus on his journey, this is Saul's journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Isn't that awesome? Mm. We could be praying, dear God, we just ask you for a suddenly in the White House. Mm. Lord, we ask you for a suddenly on those boats in the Mediterranean. God, we ask you for a suddenly in the next boardroom. God, we ask you for a suddenly in the next congressional meeting. God, we ask you for a suddenly in the church. You know, we ask you for a suddenly, God. And all the suddenly, because he's walking around in darkness. There's darkness over the earth. There's thick darkness over mankind. There's only two kingdoms, whether you like it or not, in regards to what's going on, light and dark. There's men's kingdoms, but there's two kingdoms battles that are going on. We'll talk more about that. And so he was under the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. But the problem was with the dark kingdom and what was happening with his commanders, you know, Lucifer, who was sending him up to go kill the Christians and imprison the Christians in Damascus, was the light showed up. Mm-hmm. Just suddenly the light showed up. I mean, it's just powerful.
Wow.
You know, we've lost our confidence. The church has gotten horizontal confidence, and it's time to get our vertical confidence back. Our vertical confidence means that our vertical confidence means that we have faith and hope in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross and the heavenly host of angels that are surrounding us. At any moment, when we begin to turn back to the light, at a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, suddenly, even organizers who are organizing under darkness, who has a tactics already walked out where they persecuted the church in Damascus and Egypt and all over the world, and 1,300, 1,200 documented cases in America, but there's a lot more than that. And understand, don't just start joining in darkness. Begin to say, you know what? God, I'm believing you for a suddenly. I'm believing you for a suddenly. While he was spewing out murderous threats, getting letters to go to Damascus, getting authority to go, to be able to persecute people that were walking with Jesus, he saw the light. We're talking about Saul Alinsky, but also now we're talking about Saul the Pharisee in the book of Acts in chapter 7. First of all, talked about Paul the organizer, right? Mm-hmm. Paul the Pharisee, but now we're talking about Paul the persecutor. And now we're talking about Paul the convert. But look, it's talking about he's breathing out murderous threats. I mean, how many people, isn't it hard when somebody's just spewing venom at you to go,
yeah,
let me give you a hug. You know, you just need Jesus, man.
Right? Yeah.
But that's what we have to do. We have to really begin to you know, it says a gentle word. What's this? The gentle word.
Turns away wrath. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pat goes, well, a harsh word does too. Because if you right?
As a driving out of your driveway.
God has a sense of humor. He sat a Saul in Jersey right next to me. And he wore me out over a year.
Remember that? Yeah,
and just persecuted. Didn't understand Christianity and
totally flipped though later
Yeah, but this was going on intense. I mean, it was just intense. I'm like, okay, God, I would just be humbled in this whole torturing session. And a year later, didn't want anything to do about Jesus, was persecuting because I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to pray for him in the parking lot of a diner we met at 1 o'clock in the morning as his world came crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the name of Jesus, we prayed in Saddlebrook, New Jersey. And it was just powerful.
Beautiful.
Wow. And his thing was, he says, man, all that time, I just couldn't believe. I couldn't believe that what you were saying was so true. Everyone has ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Mm. But you didn't have ulterior motives. You just couldn't latch on to it. There's something to this thing.
Steady Eddie, right?
Yeah, Steady Eddie.
You got to just stay steady with God and realize they're going to go all over the place. That's very, very good. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's all going to come crashing down eventually. And we just got to stay steady. Mm-hmm. And so here he is. Here is Saul, who was breathing out murderous threats on his way to Damascus. And suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. A light from heaven. Listen, you've got to remember this. Don't forget that God, if you're a Christian, if you're walking with the Lord, is on your side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is your inheritance. That greater is he that's with you than he that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Greater is he, the light that's in you, than the darkness that's organizing against you in the world. But if you don't believe this, you have no shield of protection, which is faith. You got to have faith. Faith, what protects you is your confidence in the reality of who God is. And we're going to talk about that. And the thing about it is that the church has gotten our eyes focused on the kingdoms of men. And we got to get our eyes back on the kingdom of God, because this is a battle between two kingdoms.
Amen.
It's a battle between two kingdoms. And so at this point, Saul was headed to Damascus to advance his own kingdom. But suddenly he saw a light from another kingdom. A bright light appeared on Saul, and Saul was riding on his donkey, his horse, headed towards to Damascus to be able to persecute the church organized there against it. He fell on the ground. It was so bright. And he heard a voice from heaven. He heard a voice in this bright light saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you organizing against me?"
Wow.
"Saul, Saul, why are you organizing against me?" This is what he said. "Saul, Saul Alinsky, why are you writing these things while you're in prison? Saul, Saul, Hillary, why are you organizing against me? Saul, Saul, Barack, why are you organizing against me? I love you. I got a plan for your life. Listen, there's a kingdom greater than the kingdoms of this world. I love you. I got a plan for your life." He fell to the ground, and he heard this voice in the bright light from heaven. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Think about that. And he tells us. He tells us in Matthew 25, he says, "Whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me." You have to understand, that's why the Muslim Brotherhood took a punch at the church in Egypt. When they couldn't find nobody to punch, they punched Jesus. When they couldn't control everybody, they wouldn't try to find a Christian to persecute, to tax, to put in servitude. Because it's a battle between light and darkness. And you're walking around trying to play both sides, be a child of the light and a child of the dark, and you're dodging punches, and you're wondering what's going on. It's like, you got to decide who you're going to serve. You know, is God your God, or is Lucifer your God? That's it. It boils down to
it.
That's it.
And so here we are. He's confronted on the road to Damascus. "Dear God, forgive us for not praying more." And we've been praying for four or five years now for our authorities, and praying specifically by name for our president and for his wife, Michelle, and for his daughters, and protection, and that he would be he would hear from God and see the light and hear wisdom from on high, and ungodly counsel would be pulled away from his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And we have evidence that we have done this, because we've written them out. And God says, if you want a peaceful life, this is how you should pray.
Yeah.
And then he says in verse 5, he says, when he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you?" Here's a man that said he was serving God, that he was actually killing people for God. When he heard God speak, he's going, "Who is this?" "Excuse me, you're breaking up. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" Think about it.
All right.
He really, this was a lot of people think, and this is what Jesus said, there'll be a day that people kill you and think that they're doing him a favor. Don't freak out about it. He told you this would happen. But understand, they can see the light. I mean, if they're that zealous for what they perceive as God,
get ready.
Wait and see what they'll do for God once they actually know him. Because right now he's just going like, okay, I got bright lights in my face here. I'm hearing a voice. I'm saying, who is this? Who is this? And that's what Jesus said to his own disciples. He said, who are they saying that I am? That's what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
You got to know him. You got to personally know him. So he says, Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said this, I am Jesus, whom you are organizing against. Mm. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. I am Jesus, whom you are organizing against. This is what God would have said to Lucifer in heaven. Lucifer, I am God, who you are organizing a third of the angels against. Mm. This is what God said to Korah in Korah's rebellion. Korah, I am God, and you are organizing against me. Mm. And this is what he would say to Absalom. Absalom, I am God, and this is who you're organizing against. It's not David. It's not Moses. It's God. He would have said to Ananias and Sapphira, Ananias, Sapphira, it is me, God, that you're organizing against, not Peter. Mm-hmm. This is so important. Mm. This is what he said. Who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, get up. Mm-hmm. Go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Think about this. Think about this. And we're going to pick this up after the break. Think about this. We have a little bit more time. That this murderous threats are pouring out of this organizer. But understand, a suddenly can happen in his life or her life.
Yeah.
And instantly they'll take all that they just didn't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't even know God. Mm-hmm. But once they meet him, they think, oh, all my life has been squandered. Mm-hmm. And they say, you've given me all these talents without repentance, but now I'll use these talents for you. Mm. Now I will pour out everything that you've given to me, because I'm telling you, I'm going to jump ahead in a moment. Over one half of your New Testament revelation that you read were written by an organizer, mm-hmm. was written by somebody who organized against the church, who had them stoned, persecuted, drug out of their houses. And understand this. If you don't understand that if you want to win against the hordes of hell, the hordes of hell are using people that God loves. It's made in his image and his likeness. And if you don't start praying for your enemy and praying for your persecutor and praying for those who are organized against you, there's not going to be anybody else on your side. Mm. Because your help will come when they convert from the hordes of darkness to the light. That's where it comes from. That's, your help comes from the Lord when they enter into the light. Join us after this break. We're going to continue this conversation. I'm telling you, my hope is picked up in God from what we're hearing.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement.
And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing our conversation and realizing, my goodness, we just saw an organizer organizing against the church, find and see the light of God. And all of a sudden, once he found out who God was, immediately was willing to do whatever he said. And he changed all of his plans, all of his destiny at that one moment in time when he met Jesus himself. That's how you know. That's how you know when people know Jesus or don't know Jesus. You know them by their fruit, not by their religious acts. You know them. They're loyal to Jesus. They changed their loyalty immediately to the light. And so we found out that when he was going to Damascus, this organizer who was going to organize Damascus against the church there, suddenly he saw the light. And when he saw the light, he said, "Who is this?" And it says, "This is Jesus, whom you're organizing against, who you're persecuting." And then he said, "Now get up and go into the city. I'm going to tell you some things you must do." See, God knew instantly that once he knew who truly God was, that he would serve him. So many people write folks off, you know what I'm saying, not understanding, you know, that people are doing the best they could do with the light or the knowledge that they have. But once they get the true light of God, you never know. Give them a chance to say, this is what I was saying just recently. It's like, I just want to give everybody a chance to say yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just give you a chance to say yes. And he said yes. And so immediately, this was his heart, that Saul went straight from wanting to persecute the church to say, "I am the church. I am the church. I am." And immediately he went. And in verse 7, he talks about it. He says, the men that were traveling with Saul stood there speechless. I mean, imagine this. His organizers, the ones that kind of learned all the Alinsky tactics, are going like, "Oh my goodness, our leader now is one of them." Mm. What happened? How did, what?
Cass would be like, yeah. "Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Is he preaching the gospel from the White House? Is he preaching?"
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's what happened. They're speechless. Because this encounter, they were speechless, and they heard the sound but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. Think about this. Mm. This man who had all this vision of darkness, once he saw the light, Jesus is so bright. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you." Understand that this is the good news, that we're all under this blanket of darkness. We're all have thick darkness over us. But Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that's what's so awesome about the good news of Jesus Christ, that we carry the light with us. But we can't be children of the dark and children of the light. It's only one kingdom that you can be a part of. And at this point, the light of Jesus was so bright, and I can't get too far into this because you can listen to it. You can get it at VineFellowshipNetwork.org and get the teaching, "Rise, shine, for your light has come," and understand this is the good news of the gospel. And so instantly, Saul was not walking and organizing in darkness anymore. He began to see the light, and the light of Jesus is so bright that it blinded him. Mm-hmm. It blinded him. That's how bright, the awesome glory, it's so bright that it literally put scales over. He could not even see. The very people that he was leading had to lead him by the hand to the city. And he had to tell them what the voice of God told them. Mm-hmm. "Hey, take me to the city because he's going to show me some things that I got to do." And people say, "Well, that can't happen." It just happened right there. You're studying, you're building Bible schools based off what this organizer wrote about. Mm. You're going to have to realize that knowledge and understanding things is not being critical. It's like, we're just trying to seek an understanding. God, unfold in your light what's taking place right here. And we're finding out that this organizer who was breathing out venomous threats against the church and dragging them and stoning them and persecuting them and getting letters from religious folks to go persecute them more, he was doing it in the name of God. He really felt he was doing God service. But then when he met God, he found out, "I don't know what that was, but this is God." So this is so encouraging. So we start praying for those in authority over us, knowing even if they're organizing against us, suddenly the light can appear. So in Damascus, it goes on to say, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. By the way, hello, visions and dreams. Mm-hmm. And he said, he called to him in a vision. He said, Ananias. And he replies back to him. He says, yes, Lord. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come to him and place his hands on him and his sight restored. So what happened right there? A brief little understanding how God does things. And this is how he does things. Okay, he appeared to Saul in mm-hmm. a bright light. His voice came into his heart that he heard nobody else could fully understand. Mm-hmm. He knew where to go because the voice of the Lord told him where to go. So he told others around who were still in darkness to lead them there. Then God spoke in a vision and a dream to another man as a Christian and said, listen, I want you to go to this particular place called Straight Street. There's a man there named Saul, because I've already spoke to him in a vision and a dream that you're going to show up. It looks like the organizer of the church is not men. It looks like there is an organizer. There is an administrator. There is somebody who organizes the church. It's Jesus. Jesus is the organizer of the church. Oh, my goodness. Wow. The centurion understood this because the centurion said, listen, yeah. I myself am a man under authority. He's saying, I understand you, Jesus. I tell one to go and he comes. I tell one to come and he goes. He does exactly what I say. And Jesus said this, I haven't seen anyone in all of Israel and that has this faith.
All of Israel.
And all of Israel. And he wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile, that has the greatest amount of faith. That you got this great faith. Is why? Because he understood that Jesus is the organizer. Don't throw organization out, but realize you have to submit to the organizer. Jesus is the organizer. He knew that all Jesus had to do was say, just say the words, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just say the words. Lord, just show up in your bright light on the road to Damascus and touch this dark organizer and turn them into the light. And we'll just watch them and feed into the flames of the glory of God in their life, where they begin to just, you know, write out brand new oracles from your heavenly throne when you're downloading to them. Mm. Think about it. Yes, so there is, we're being revealed that it's organizer. The organizer is Jesus Christ. You know, yes, but the thing is there are two kingdoms. One's kingdom of darkness being organized by Lucifer, and one's the kingdom of light who's being organized by Jesus Christ, who is the administrator of everything, his body. And so in the context of that, he's organizing the ability for where Saul was going to go, how Ananias was going to come there, how he was going to get his sight back. He was going to get the orders from the Lord about what to do. And so verse 13, he says, then Lord, Ananias answered. He says, I have heard many reports about this organizer. this is Ananias talking back to the Lord. He says, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. In other words, like, have you watched CNN news lately, Jesus? Have you watched Fox News? Have you seen the reports of what's going on here? Don't you, I'm yours. I'm yours. But I mean, he is an organizer organizing darkness against the church, and he's breathing out murderous threats against you. Your body's persecuting you. But Ananias didn't know that he gave up his own organizing efforts and joined the organizer of the kingdom of God. Mm. He don't know that yeah, he's an organizer, but now he submits his gifts to the organizer of the kingdom. Now he's not talentless, but he submits his talents to the kingdom and says, here I am at your use. I mean, you think about that. Mm. So Ananias didn't know that. So Ananias is talking to God going, hey, don't you understand? And he knew him before he saw the light. Mm-hmm. And so here he is, God's organizing his church through his son, Jesus Christ, by his spirit. And the verse 15, God says in verse 15, he says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. Isn't that great? I'm sure he's going like, okay, this is my last ministry effort. It's over. He says, go. This man is my chosen instrument. Oh, my goodness. This is so important because, you know, nothing happens outside of the filtering of God. God allows things to happen. I mean, even Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. I mean, Josiah, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, Nebuchadnezzar, the whole chain link of events was organized by God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the organizer. We're just supposed to submit to his direction in our life. But see, you have to understand, men and dark organizers' plans are against God and they're not good. But God's plans are good. Plans to bless you and to prosper you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. Plans to give you houses that you didn't build. Plans to forgive you and restore the years the locusts had devoured. So he's organizing you, but you have to have faith that he's going to begin to restructure your life and organize you in the ways. But you got to let go of all your union practices.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot unionize against God. You got to let go of all these practices where you've been manipulating everybody and trying to make everybody line up to your world. And you got to say, Lord, I'm ready for the light. I want to be like Saul. I'm ready to see. I'm ready. I'll give you everything, God. Mm. This is who you really are. I'm talking to you right now. You're ready to give your life for something. And you thought the cause that you gave it to was worth something, but you didn't know about what happened on the road to Damascus. You didn't know that the creator of the universe had sent his son as the light of the world to be able to give you a true organizer that you can follow, that will stay with you, will not use you and spin you and throw you out just for their own personal gain. But he will organize you into a place of blessing and prosperity and fruitfulness, into eternal life with him forever, where there's no shadow of turning. You can make Jesus, this same Jesus, the Lord of your life. If you want to meet him, you've got to meet Jesus. Meet him. Meet his Father. Meet this God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Realize we were all on this road to Damascus. We're all walking in darkness. And outside of the light, we would fall in darkness every moment. It's he that keeps us in the light. You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. So here we are right now, this one moment, we're finding out that, okay, now God, through his Son, is organizing by his Spirit the healing for Saul's eyes, because he couldn't see no more after actually experiencing God. Sometimes when God shows up in your life, you're going to have to limp for a while because he wants to be able to show himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you listen in a hurry, you won't be blind for long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But some people go for a long, long life of like, have you seen? And so here we are. So he says, Ananias, he says, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. He was defending and fighting for Jerusalem, but he was our answer.
Mm.
God was going to use him to bring Jesus to us, the Gentiles. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you want to persecute, you want to speak against our president, you want to speak against our leaders, you want to speak against those folks that they may be walking in darkness, but understand in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, on a road to Damascus, on a donkey, in a limousine, in the beast, they call the limousine that the president gets carried. It's a strong vehicle. Oh. Understand this, that God loves him, and you should be praying for him. You should be praying for wisdom for him. You should be praying for him and understanding that if there is darkness, and if it is an instrument of God, and right now in regards to it's being orchestrated, understand in a moment God could shift this thing. What we have to do is repent. It has nothing to do with other folks. It has to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the person we need to organize, ourselves under the cross of Jesus Christ. That's who we need to organize. And then submit ourselves to the organizer of the light. This is good. Good. And so Ananias shows up and he says, this guy's my instrument now. I mean, he went from an instrument of Lucifer to an instrument of God, to an instrument of Jesus. Like, he understands organizing so well, and he's been used in the kingdom of darkness. I'm going to bring him over, and I'm going to use him in the kingdom. He's going to work under me, under Jesus, as an organizer of the light.
Wow.
He's going to organize my church. He is going to help people. He's like, listen, imitate me. He's going to begin to tell me, imitate me. He's going to tell people, listen, we have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. He's going to begin to raise up sons and send them out to be able to be over the churches. He's going to tell them how to handle things. He's going to be able to organize under the leadership of Jesus Christ, who he becomes a bondservant to. He used his talents, yes, but he submitted them to Jesus Christ, and they led him. The Jesus Christ led his talents.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, in regards to Saul, the organizer, in regards to now Saul the converted, and here he is, Ananias is coming over to organize, Jesus Christ organized Ananias to come to lay hands on Saul, because Saul is blinded by the light. And then we found out that Jesus even organized Saul to be ready to receive Ananias. So it seems like, man, he's a great organizer, isn't he?
Yeah.
And so Ananias is showing up to be able to do what he said, because he says, I want you to go over to lay hands on him, and because he's going to be my instrument going to the Gentiles and before the people of Israel. So the Gentiles and for the people of Israel. And he says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
Mm.
And so, my goodness, he was causing suffering. But God understood his heart and knew that once he was serving him, he was going to actually be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And when you see somebody so dedicated to Alinsky's tactics, you need to go win them to the Lord. They don't know Jesus yet. I mean, they're trying to make good things happen in their own way.
Some of these people are very sincere. They're just sincerely wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It's just the mental gymnastics of personal utopias of how to actually provide for men, man trying to be God.
Right.
And so then he goes on to verse 17, Acts chapter 9. We're talking about this organizer who now is being organized by Jesus. Then Ananias went to the house where he had entered, placing his hands on Saul, and he said, Brother Saul. Is that huge? Is that huge? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was organizer Saul, persecutor Saul. But after God had a conversation, a short conversation with Saul, the organizer, and a short conversation with Ananias, his son, then Ananias shows up and says, Brother.
Wow.
Now, see, you could say so many wrong things because you're speaking out of ignorance towards somebody who might be persecuting you today that we don't even have the guts to call him brother or her sister tomorrow. But if you humble yourself and realize that Satan is the enemy, that mankind, God loves mankind.
That's right.
And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye on somebody's donkey on the way to Damascus, that suddenly, you know, God can change them. So here he comes. He shows up just like Jesus organized them to do. And so here they are responding to the organizer, Jesus. And he lays his hands on Saul, and he says, Brother Saul, he said, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you can see again.
Mm.
But this time he's going to see Saul. So, I mean, think about it. He had 3 days to meditate on the wrong way he was seeing. He saw the bright light that took his vision, but now he's going to begin to see totally different from this point. God gives you new eyes. When you're born again, you get new eyes. If you're seeing the same way that you saw when you say that you made a decision for the light, that means you don't have light because you see differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total different way of seeing things. It's a whole different perspective. There's a shift that takes place because you got a light. Imagine you're in a dark room and then you got a flashlight. You can just see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's like, you just have these big O's going on. And so he laid his hands on him. He says, so he can actually see again. And then he said, when I lay hands on you, so you can see again, so also that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So not only was he going to be able to see again, not only was he going to be an instrument of God, but he's going to be filled with the power of God.
Whew, wow.
Think about that. And you're thinking, think about all the negative things that you spoke out against these folks when you really should have just begun to seek understanding and realize, hey, we just need the light of God to appear. We need the heavenly host to appear. We need the love of God to manifest. It's just, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And immediately, he talks about after this, immediately something like scales fell off Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up. He was baptized. I mean, knocking things out rapidly. Baptized. He ate some food. He regained his strength. And listen to this now. He was going to Damascus. And we're going to finish this tomorrow, so you got to hear about it. You got to hear this. He was going to Damascus with a letter to continue to organize against and persecute the church.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he can see again, now that he's saved and he gave his life to God, now that he is filled with the Spirit of God, now that he is baptized, he is going to the very same church he was going to persecute and go spend some time with them and encourage them in the Lord. How many people would go, well, I ain't going to listen to nothing he says, because he was like, you know, you're in darkness right now. Because don't you remember what God saved you from?
Hello. If he indeed saved you. Right?
Right. And not only that, but if you forgot, ask him to remind you.
Uh-huh.
He can remind you. It's like, oh, yes, grace. For by grace are we saved. And so this is what it says next. So Saul, who was the persecuted, now he's the converted. Now he's the instrument of God, the organizer, the instrument of God under the organizer of the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ himself. He spent several days with the disciples, which is followers of Jesus, in Damascus.
Mm.
At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Think about it. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine right today that all of a sudden, that even in the situation that was happening, was like, why are you so focused on Damascus? Why do you want to bomb Damascus? Whatever your motives, like, let's just pray that the light, let's just pray mm-hmm. that all of a sudden, that when they thought darkness was going to show up and evil was going to show up, then all of a sudden, you know, our president or an onboard of the president begins to show up and begins to say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
instantly. And it's like, oh, this is not what we planned. This is this is not what the kingdom of darkness planned. And so Saul spent several days with him. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the divider between all the kingdoms of wow. darkness right there. And those who heard him were astonished and amazed and asked, isn't this the man who organized against us? Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on the name of the Lord? And hasn't he come here to organize against us? Hasn't he come here to take them prisoner to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God. We have so much to talk about with this, so much to talk about. I'm going to continue this conversation because we've been talking about these Lucifer tips and these Lucifer techniques and dark mm-hmm. techniques and the light perspective, but we're finding out here, because we're going to cover three more of them, that, oh my goodness, all these folks who are organizing for darkness, if we'll begin to tell them that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life and quit trying to hold resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and realize that we're called to suffer for doing right. This is our call. This is what we've been called to do. And begin to say, you know what? This is the testing of our faith is more precious than gold. I'm going to suffer trials for a little bit, but you know what? I'm going to try to win some of these folks who are in the hordes of hell into the kingdom of light. Our help is right now in the kingdom of darkness, but we mm-hmm. have to bring them into the kingdom of light. I'm excited. This is a battle between two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Everybody who's in the kingdom of darkness, the human beings, God loves. They're creating his image and his likeness, and he wants us to go to them and tell them that he loves them, he has a plan for their life, and that the light of God will come into their life and they will see. He will give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and they can then truly be organized by the Son of God himself, the organizer of the kingdom of God. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. Just you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day that day on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.